The big news in the NFL last night, Thursday night football, the Bills beat the Dolphins 31-10, which is big news unto itself. That game was in Miami. It's a big win for the Bills. But Tua Tagovailoa leaves the game with yet another concussion. This time in the third quarter, it was on fourth down, got to have it. He scrambles out of the pocket, starts running straight up field, and puts his head down. And DeMar Hamlin was the one who made the tackle. But Tua kind of put his head down and tried to plow over DeMar Hamlin. And certainly took a shot to the head, self-induced, in trying to run over Hamlin. But then when he hit the ground, the back of his head hit the turf, and that might have been when he got concussed. Either way, he was concussed. No estimate now for how long he's going to be out. But what we do know is that Tua's got a long history of this. And they put it up on the screen in here, in our studio, Seth, on ESPN. I did not know, or maybe I just didn't recall, that he had a concussion at Alabama, too, back in 2019. Yeah. I didn't know about that. The ones that were very public, in 2022, he had what appeared to be a concussion in week three, got cleared the protocol. Remember, that was a big deal. He got cleared in week three and then immediately got another concussion in week four, and there was a lot of heat on the medical staff in Miami over
It wasn't just the medical staff. It was Mike McDaniel as well.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people saying, like, oh, look, how could you not know he had a concussion? At the time, I defended Mike McDaniel. Who knows what I would have done in the same situation. But as far as I think coaches, by and large, in the NFL have taken the position of, listen, we don't want to be the coach that's out there making medical decisions and forcing a guy back in there when he has a concussion. So you just try to take a hands-off approach to it and just you let the medical people make their decision. So then, yeah, it did turn into a lot of heat on the way the medical decision was made. But regardless, it was an ugly scenario. It was a really ugly scenario. And now he very much appears to be a guy who's prone to concussions. The more you get, the worse. I mean, and it wasn't handled right the first time. This is really dicey for him and maybe what decision he chooses to make going forward.
Well, and we'll talk about that just to put a bow on the chronology of it. In 2022, he had the one in week three when he got cleared, suffered another one a week later, and then came back and suffered a third one in week 11. So there's two that have driven him to the injured list. Or have sidelined him.
And probably a third one now.
Yep, for sure.
And last year, that was the big story all offseason, was him taking jujitsu or whichever martial art it was to try to learn how to fall better. And he made it through the season unscathed. Mm-hmm. But then this pops up again. And I don't know. I mean, at the very least, I would imagine this is going to be they're going to exercise a lot of caution in when he comes back, if he comes back at all. But also, I think it's fair to think, you know, this might be the kind of thing that keeps him out for a year as he makes the decision about whether he should play football again.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're two different stories, the Deshaun Watson story and the Tua Tagovailoa story. And yet they both end up intersecting kind of back at the same place, which is money. And I know that there's, you know, I know there's a human element, obviously, very different human elements, but a human element to both stories. We're not ignoring that. But it does come back in terms of what's in our world, the sports part of it, the construction of a roster. Two teams that are on the outside, I say on the outside looking in right now, of Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. But I think they're a Super Bowl hopeful. Like, I think they're both teams that have assembled enough talent that if their quarterbacks caught fire in the postseason, that they could make a run at it. But now both these teams, for very different reasons, are looking at, you know, Miami, it's still very early with Tua and this concussion, so maybe I'm making too much of it. But if this is a, I mean, I'm looking up TV screen right now, should Tua ever play again in the NFL? So, the Miami Dolphins are going to be on the hook for a lot of money because he has injury guarantees that are in the neighborhood of nearly $170 million, which ironically is the same amount of money that the Browns still have to account for with Deshaun Watson after this season is over.
You know, and this is where, I mean, with quarterbacks, whether it's fair or not, durability is just so key and vital. It's such an important position. Yeah. And, I'm sure as conversations that the Dolphins had in extending to a Tagovailoa and maybe some of the arguments that they had in talking with his agent is that, It's for a guy that's been, remember, had a really grotesque hip dislocation injury as well in college, has had all manner of injury issues. And how much do you want to sink into and guarantee for a guy like that when it comes to the quarterback position, where availability is just such a premium? Hopefully it doesn't end up being a talking point for CJ Stroud.
Concussion.
Right. Yeah. He's had one concussion. He was healthy in college. He was healthy. He played through. The big thing for me with quarterbacks is, are guys able to play through the injuries?
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys, people are making excuses for Trevor Lawrence last year. Look, he was on the field. I don't care that he had multiple injuries. He was on the field. Ben Roethlisberger was banged up all the time. Tom Brady was banged up all the time. They were on the field by and large, but they performed well. I think with Tua, though, like the concussion, there's no playing through a concussion. You're either concussed and you're not playing, and then if you get concussed again, there's that much more chance that you're screwed up down the road.
I would take it a step further, Seth, as long as we're talking about quarterbacks and giving out big money contracts and making huge franchise-changing decisions or franchise course-setting decisions on guys. Yeah. Is it any other injury that knocks a quarterback out? A shoulder injury, like you said, a knee, some sort of leg injury, whatever the case may be. The topic the next day is never, should he ever play football again?
Yeah.
Concussion is the only one where the topic, after a couple of them, becomes, should this guy even be playing football? And that's where it gets scary for a team from a business perspective, from a salary cap perspective, is they might have to take $167 million worth of cap space for a guy who's, you know, going and figuring out what chapter two is for him in his adult life.
Yeah, know? I do. I feel like with concussions, there should be some kind of an exception made.
Maybe.
For player safety, et cetera, et cetera. That might be the one where, okay, you get a get out of jail free pass as an organization if you're quarterback. It's what the financial side, the actual money, like you pointed out earlier, maybe they have an insurance policy or whatever. But the salary cap ramifications of a guy basically saying, I want to avoid being a vegetable by the time I'm 45. I'm going to go ahead and tap out. There should be some relief on the salary.
There should be. And you know what? And who knows? Maybe there is, because this is uncharted territory. We've never been in this situation, Seth, with a quarterback who's had this many concussions making this much money. You know, highly paid guys have suffered concussions before. This is extreme. This is extreme to both degrees. It's extreme in terms of the number of concussions, and it's extreme in the dollar amount. Now with Dak, he's $7 million shy of the top, but before last week, he was $2 million less than the highest paid quarterbacks in football.
I'm trying to think, it's kind of a misconception that Aikman was driven out by concussions. He'll tell you that no, it wasn't. He played after that bad stretch. Now, in today's modern age, he would have been forced out by the concussions. I don't think he would have had his last couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a Dolphins problem, not mine.
No, it's they're on the Texans schedule. You know, Jordan Love's got an MCL sprain now, and Aaron Rodgers looks like he's, you know, maybe not the old Aaron Rodgers. Tua's got a concussion. It's this game of quarterback, like whack-a-mole or whatever. It's like a game of Survivor going on at quarterback. Like every week, it was like that last year. Which three quarterbacks are out now, you know?
If you're Tua's dad, and I'm not saying that you're telling Tua's dad what he should do, but if you were in that position, what would you tell your son, do you think?
I would probably tell him to hang it up. Especially now that he's got the money, you know, like it sounds a little mercenary, but like, hey man, that would be part of my conversation. You got $167 million. You can walk away.
Well, and honestly though, too, it's kind of like, it's regardless. Yes, it is 100%. And that's a thing. Like, it makes it easier.
Yeah.
It's one of those things though, where the money really shouldn't matter.
Right.
It just, if you're doing, if you're in a job where you're making $50,000 a year, and maybe you love it, but it's giving you a concussion. Well, actually, there are a lot of people listening who have jobs where they get concussions like that, and they love what they're doing.
Right.
But you try to make it not about the money as much as possible. It's just the long-term ramifications of it.
Yep. Shifting gears here, Payne and Pendergast on a football Friday. We'll mix in a little baseball. The Astros beat the A's 6-3 yesterday afternoon. Big story in this one, I think, was what they got out of the lower part of the lineup, the others, as we'll call them, 6-9. in the lineup. 7 for 14, two doubles, a home run, drove in all six runs. They needed the supporting cast to come through because no Jose Altuve yesterday. We'll get to Espada on Altuve in just a second, but here was Joe Espada yesterday on the performance of the bottom part of the lineup.
Yeah, the bottom of our lineup, you know. Jay got a big knock. Hayward, big two-run homer. Intentionally walk him to pitch to Dubon. Dubon finds a hole. You know, that's big. When we can stretch it out and get big hits from everyone, we find ourselves, you know, scoring some runs late in the game, and we got a little bit of cushion there. So that was the case today.
Yeah, that was good. And they needed the cushion because Josh Hader came in and actually gave up a home run in the bottom or in the top of the ninth.
Yeah, it really was genuinely when you can't rely on Presley and Hader gives up a run, and you needed those guys to. Well, you didn't need to. By the time Hader gave up the home run, you didn't need those guys.
Right.
It was already done. But it wasn't a save situation because he came in with a four-run lead.
Yep. Joe Espada talked about Jose Altuve and Kyle Tucker before the game, said that Altuve, who left the game two nights ago with the strain in his right side after a swing, said Altuve was feeling better yesterday.
He's doing better. I thought he was going to come in and be more sore, you know, especially after the way he looked yesterday. But he's day-to-day. He's in the weight room. He's throwing the med ball around, trying to get the area loose. So hopefully, you know, it's something that he won't miss a lot of time.
Okay. I think at one point we had, when we would do the Circle of Trust, we had an injury designation.
Yeah.
Like you could be in with, like right now, Circle of Trust, Altuve would be in it, or possibly out of it, but with an injury exemption. Even with the injury exemption, how much do you trust that Altuve will be just fine for the playoffs?
It's still so early. I want to see if. Can I answer this on Monday when I see if he plays this weekend? Because it's been one game.
That's a whole exercise. Okay. Is how much,
okay.
It's a toughest one. Yeah.
And he's had this injury. Or he's had a similar injury before that kept him out for a long time. I trust Altuve until I can't trust Altuve. How's that
okay.
for you?
Yeah. Sounds like he's got. Circle of Trust, he's out with an injury exemption right now.
Yeah.
We're only allowed one of those, so then it becomes Tucker.
I don't remember
Kyle
us having Tucker. I remember the Jake Marisnik designation. I don't remember the injury exemption. This is turning into the NBA salary cap.
You feel like you're playing a board game with somebody that makes the rules up as they go along. Like we're playing Scrabble, and I just start off randomly in the upper left corner or something.
Or all of a sudden there's words that weren't words before. Oh, that's a word. Yeah, a little bit. I'm cool with it. Hey, it keeps Altuve in. I'm cool with it. How's that? Yeah.
All right. Circle of Trust. Justin Verlander.
No. God, no. Are you kidding me? Do you trust him right now?
No.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah.
He's out of the Circle of Trust.
Oh, how about Tucker?
The injury designation is used up, but I trust Kyle Tucker.
I like seeing what he did yesterday.
Yeah.
He had a couple hits yesterday.
Well, and also, you know, he's had judgment at the plate and everything. There's nothing to believe that he's come back and he's lost or anything. That he's flailing around.
He's not played outfield yet. And you remember coming off of his Gold Glove season, all of a sudden last season, it looked like he looked semi-interested in playing the outfield at times. Remember last year? He looked a little like he was protesting having to play right field. I know he wasn't. I'm just joking. He wasn't quite as good defensively last year as he was the year that he won the Gold Glove
Kyle Tucker, since he's been back, is whatever. It'll load eventually.
Yeah.
Baseball Reference is so
well. He was.
Slow.
Are you looking up his offensive stats?
He was
1 for 10 going into yesterday, and he went 2 for 4 yesterday. So whatever, he's 3 for 14 now.
Okay.
So he's 3 for 14. So he'll I'm with you. He'll get it going. How about Pena defensively? It's almost like he heard our segment last week where we were talking about just how unfocused he seemed in the field. Here's Joe Espada. Jeremy Pena had a play yesterday where he went and fielded a grounder on the second base side of. Second base, like on the Altuve side or the Dubon side yesterday of second base, and did that old like kind of 360 and threw it, and Singleton had a nice scoop. Here was Espada on Pena making the play of the game.
I thought personally the play of the game was the play in the fifth, the Allen ground ball up the middle. If that ball gets through, you know, his pitch count is going up. Now you got to deal with Butler and Rooker. It would have been a completely different game if Jeremy doesn't make. That was, for me, the play of the game.
Yeah,
I thought that when that play happened, you know, as a manager, you like, I got to write down, because that can completely, you know, change the outcome of the game. How I manage the bullpen, I got to get somebody. It just changes a lot of things. So Jeremy finishing that play with Singy, that was huge.
It's a great point by Espada, because it's the play of the game, even just as like a web gem, like showing up in Sports Center top 10. If it was 8-1 and Jeremy Peña makes that play, it shows up in Sports Center top 10. It was that good. Yeah. Well, but the situation Espada laid out the situation perfectly.
This is where, as a fielder, though, Peña's still not in my circle of trust. He's made magnificent plays all year long. He makes magnificent plays in games in which he also has an error. It's on the whole, the sum total of it all has been that he's not as solid defensively as he once was, while still being capable of making the great plays. That's what's just so weird about it. He's been a minus defensive player this year.
Okay, so what is it possible for Peña to get back into your circle of trust before the end of the season?
No, not defensively.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I think that he just, there's just been something weird. And he's never, I'll say it again, he's made brilliant defensive plays all along. He just hasn't been as consistent with it. So,
is he in your overall circle of trust? Because he's been okay offensively this year.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's like, because he's going to make those great plays too.
Yeah.
And because, he hasn't been a complete disaster at the plate.
Yeah, I think he's in, but I get your trepidation defensively. I understand
Tucker,
that.
Just to paint the picture, Tucker, since he's been back, .267 batting average, on base percentage of .368 with an OPS of .702.
Okay.
He's been an average baseball player with better than average judgment at the plate, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. He'll be fine. Yeah, Tucker will be. Tucker's in my circle of trust now that he's back from the injury.
Yeah.
He's in there for sure. That was fun. We did like a miniature circle of trust. I didn't see that coming. That was good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, the behind the scenes of one of the most ridiculous NFL visuals, one of the most ridiculous NFL pregame speeches of all time, the behind the scenes of this on a podcast that dropped yesterday is hysterical. We've got that for you. We're going to continue to get you ready for Bears and Texans between now and the end of the show. We'll talk to the In the Loop guys as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.